Oh my God, it's podcast time.
It's well past podcast time, but it's podcast time.
Welcome to another late edition of the Chips and Bits podcast. If you're listening to us and you didn't know we were late, that's great. We're happy to have you here. If you did notice that we were late, we're sorry. We're still happy to have you here. And we're finally going to talk about more games, like we always do.
Yeah.
I'm your host this month, Matthew Anderson, with me as always.
Kenny Myers.
The best Kenny Myers I know.
At least the most current.
Currently, the best Kenny Myers I know.
Thank you.
This month, we're going to be talking about an indie game called Lorelei and the Laser Eyes for y'all. And I'm excited about this one. I have a hunch, but I'm not entirely certain what Kenny's opinion is going to be. So we're going to find out on this month's episode of the Chips and Bits podcast.
That was our theme song.
It was.
Yeah.
Thank you for picking up on my cue there, Kenny.
Yeah. I pushed the button. It seemed like there was a little delay there, which, you know, computer software, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to set the table a little bit here by providing a thought that I have. We talk about this from time to time on the podcast, depending on what game we are talking about. You know, sometimes we mention that games are, you know, better or worse than the sum of their parts. Sometimes we talk mm-hmm. about how important it is to have, you know, one or two key pieces of a game just be killer so that if there are other parts of the game that aren't quite as good, it can help carry it over the finish line and make us like it and finish it. Mm-hmm. And I think how I want to set this up is, for me, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes has a lot of problems. Has a lot of problems. And overwhelmingly, in my opinion, the things that I hope to talk about today make it one of my more favorite puzzle games that I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of quite a long list of things that are challenging and difficult in this game. So that's the setup that I'll lead with. But Kenny beat this game more recently than I did, as in like just yesterday, and I beat it months ago. So I'm going to let him respond to that while I sort of remember this game beyond that.
Yeah, so I fucking hated this game. I'm just going to start right there.
Okay.
I'm just going to come out cold of that. But here's the twist. I actually think it's a great game.
So we're exact opposites.
I just hated this game. I actually think it's a really good game as far as puzzle games go. I also think it finally answers the question, how much espresso can one woman drink in a given set of time in order to solve puzzles? And the answer is infinite amounts of
infinite espresso.
Infinite espresso. So the reason the podcast is late is because this game took me longer to beat than most. And I had to cheat, but I couldn't fully cheat because the answers were randomized, which means I had to actually, well, I didn't have to. I got through most of it without essentially cheating, without looking at answers. But I still had to like figure out the puzzles in order to solve them because of the randomization, which I thought was rather brilliant, especially in the internet era. But it was really annoying when I was trying to get a podcast done. And like, you know, like I think the closest game we have to this obviously was the last puzzle game we played, which was The Witness. And The Witness has a whole different mechanism for figuring things out. It is very, very, it has similar context clues, but a lot of them in this game, a lot of it's derived from things you find in The Witness generally. And then this is speaking very generally, it's derived from how your perspective and what you're looking at, pretty much. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
The witness is almost all perspective based.
Yeah, it's almost all perspective, and this is almost all document based. And yep. I like if I'm picking a puzzle game, I like more in terms of this kind of, we'll call it Myst style game. It's definitely on the Lorelei side. I found it less. I hated it less than The Witness, but I acknowledge that both games are good games, although The Witness is way more full of themselves. However, this one's full of itself too. Why do they always have to be so fucking full of themselves when they're a puzzle game? Why can't they just be like Agatha Christie murders, you know, like where it's really interesting? It's always just like some weird cosmic twist on or metaphor for what we're doing. Matt, as the fan of puzzle games, you have a lot of things you like to get through. So I think you should drive this, and I'll just filter with my snarky responses.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I imagine that the cleverness required to make puzzle games that are filled with puzzles that people will enjoy maybe just lends itself to that style of personality, where it's also the mechanism that's wrapping around the puzzles is a little grandiose. Once I got past the translation layer of and I imagine it's going to be somewhat difficult to talk about the wrapper of this game because it's very obtuse. But there's like this, there's multiple storylines within the game, and you kind of have to take stock of all of them, and they take place in three different years, and one of them's make believe, and the other two are not. But sometimes you're not sure which character you're talking about. And I felt like once I got past that translation layer, I didn't actually find this to be anywhere near as up its own ass as The Witness was. I mean,
no. Well, but I mean, yeah. The whole concept of what you're doing and going in through the red mirrors and like,
yes,
there's a lot of like, there's a kind of horror element too that is different from The Witness as well. Other than the horror of discovering Jonathan Blow's inner monologues.
I do have a fond place for puzzle games. I mean, my intro.
You love puzzle games. To be clear,
I do.
When you started this game, you could not stop for days, and you only do that on games you truly are just like so invested in. And I think there's very few, like the last one was Astrobot. That's not even a puzzle game. The games that do that to you, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's something to be said for it. For me, it's the closest metaphor I can think of is when you are watching a new TV show and it's, you know, maybe it's part of the cultural zeitgeist and people might not be watching it all at the same time, but you feel like you need to just keep going for the story to complete itself. And with this, there is an aspect of everything as you go through the game builds upon what you learn. You're taking lots of notes, you're reading all these documents that you find, and there's a lot of interpretation. So you'll read stuff and be like, oh, I got to remember that. And then you'll never use that piece of information. And then meanwhile, something that you skipped over on a document, you're like, oh, I got to go back and read that. Like, I totally missed that. And so there's a lot of maintaining context, and that sort of keeps me going. But I also do think that, to be fair, some of this will just be me personally. You know, it's like I came to love games in general through basically two games, Civilization and Myst. I mean, those were the games that built the entire psyche of my love for video games when I was a kid. And so, you know, any game that has any sort of similar reference to either of those games, I'm usually a pretty big fan of. And this one is definitely on the Myst side of things. I mean, it's the style of game where you are writing notes, remembering things. I'm taking photos on my phone and putting them into my notes. And then I'm drawing over top of them to try and figure out puzzles and shapes. And it's just like, that doesn't happen anymore. Like, for better or for worse, a lot of modern games are slightly brain dead in that capacity. It's like you learn the game mechanic, and if they got it right and the story or the character arc is compelling, you're going to go to the end. But it's also really easy to then lose you in that if it's not done right. And so that's why I think I kind of have a fondness for this style of game. Because as I said in the opening, this game has a lot of blemishes. Like, the movement mechanics are atrocious, and the menu system is really bad.
One of the worst.
Inventory is almost impossible to manage and navigate through, and the dialogue's a little bad. And like, there's so many things in this game that just aren't. Yes, they are very good, and yet everything else, the puzzles, they're insane. Like, some of these puzzles are some of the more challenging puzzles I've ever had to do in a game, taking me like multiple nights to figure out how I was going to actually solve this. I just thought it was really well put together. And once I got past those really crappy aspects of it, I mean, it just kept me going.
Yeah, I agree. It is really well put together, and it felt really well put together. And it was fun when the puzzles were not blocking me from doing the podcast. But as you know, when you're trying to record a podcast,
sure,
it, like, the pressure just kind of takes the fun out of most games if you're just not there. So it was, it looked decent. There were weird design choices they made that were like cute, but then stopped being cute the minute you had to deal with them many, many times. Particularly their date, they use a video game system in this in this game to, where it's like PlayStation era Resident Evil controls, where it's just like the worst movement in a game that already has pretty bad movement.
It's almost like they wanted you to, think that the movement mechanics they had in the game weren't quite as bad by reminding you what movement mechanics were like in the 80s.
Right. But the movement mechanics in both were very bad. It was just worse in the 2000s, actually. No, it's the 90s.
I also think it actually made that worse, because then you'd get into the Resident Evil style mechanic and you'd have to reset your brain every time you did it. And then they'd drop you out, and you had to re-remember the bad mechanics that you were using before you hopped in the video. And I was like, this is just exacerbating the problem.
I get to these points with puzzle games, and I think about it with The Witness too. Like, I get to the point where I hit like what I call the clever ceiling. Where it's just like, I've been rewarded enough. I imagine it's similar to the point you get to with like Dark Souls games, Matt, where you're just like, okay, this is just a lot of repeating the same thing and trying to figure out how to get through this one area, like this puzzle, using the mechanisms they give you in the game and the loose informational architecture that they provide. So for me, it was when I had to open the puzzle boxes. There's a bunch of puzzle boxes you have to open. You eventually open doors and rooms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I looked at them, and I opened the door, and I walked in, and my first thought was, at this point, was just like, oh, fuck. Like, I could see what they were going for. I was surprised, though, at the twist that you only needed to know four of them. That was pretty clever. There are things, but it was just like, now I have to backtrack through this whole fucking house and figure out like where all these things are. And they're not all in an easily accessible place, and like hunt down the rooms. And thank God they have a map system, but it's not the best map system, but it's a reasonable map system.
I was going to say, fortunately for you, the map is one of the things that also sucked in this game.
Yeah. It was bad. And then, like, you had to unlock shortcuts to get through things, which were very, very fun and clever puzzles. I actually loved the shortcut puzzles. But, like, at a certain point, you're just, like, you hit so many doors that are, like, you can't open from one side. That is just not fun.
Yes.
And there was a lot of that. And then, yeah, I essentially saved the... oh, my gosh, I'm yawning a lot again. I must have just finished playing Lorelei. There's a lot of doors, like the puzzle boxes were the last one, because it was just like a lot of trekking and being like, oh, ho, so clever, through each room, and then honestly just googling at a certain point. I just got like, I hit my puzzle ceiling. I had felt very clever up to this point. I really love the reward system of like, wait, could it be possibly this? But, and then you're like, oh shit, it is. Oh, those clever people. Like, you feel really smug. And then it opens another area that just gives you like one piece to solve the puzzle. And I just find that whole system tiring. Just tiring.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Also, I do like that they let you pet the dog, but spoiler alert, they do kill the dog in this game. It's at the very end, but they fucking kill the dog as like a thing.
I was thinking that would be one of our protected spoilers, but you know, leave it to Kenny.
this, I mean, these are spoilery podcasts. I mean, if you get to that point, congratulations. I think you're not most people.
Oh, you mentioned Googling. You know, I mean, you actually fall into this boat too, but you know that, especially with puzzle games, it's this really stupid source of pride for me in the modern day to make sure that I don't Google anything until I finished the game. You know, like sometimes when I'm achievement hunting or whatnot, I'll definitely go back and use a guide to find things. But as far as trying to get to what I consider to be the original 100% of a game, I really like doing it without Googling. And I had to do a Google in this game. And, yeah.
Which one was it? So, I am shocked. Because, like, listen, like, I'll get to points with, like, long-ass games, and especially these kind of games where I'll just be like, whatever, my time is not, I want to see what happens. Like, the being clever isn't worth anything to me. I want to hear those.
So the worst part about it is it wasn't really for a puzzle. I got to a place in the game where a couple of nights in a row, I felt like I was going out of my way to backtrack and like look at things and go through my notes. And I just could not progress. Just, I was not making any progress. One of those. Yeah. And I was like, what am I missing here? And I would go back and I would look at every puzzle and every door and reread everything. I was like, I cannot figure out what the heck is happening. And at this point in the game, there's a couple of different characters and pieces that are discussed by the characters before you ever encounter them, and you know you're going to find them. And they
There's two characters. There's only
two. So like you kept encountering these characters that were mentioning you know, mazes, and they were mentioning a club. Mm-hmm. And I knew what the maze was. I had encountered the maze. I'd encountered several mazes at that point, but like I felt like I knew what the maze was, and I had progressed reasonably through what I could. But I was just looking and looking and looking for like, when am I going to get access to this club that everyone's talking about? And after, I think it was about the third session, I was like, okay, I got to figure out what puzzle. I need to get a puzzle Googled to figure out how I can progress here. So I found a guide and I went looking and looking and trying to find a puzzle I could solve. And while Googling that, I discovered that I had missed a single room on the map.
Yeah.
With a door that was accessible. And so it wasn't locked. And since I hadn't encountered it, it didn't show up as something I hadn't solved. I could just go and open it. And it was the room with the mirror in it that led you to the quiz club, the mirror maze. I could not find it. And it really irritated me. So it really sucked because I did, you know, while Googling that, obviously around that, it, you know, to get to where I realized I had just missed a doorway. I saw a couple of puzzles in and around that part of the guide, and it bummed me out because once I realized, you idiot, if you just walked around this side of the wonderful map and tried this door again, you would have found it, but I didn't. So that was my Googling experience.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what I Google. Like, typically, once I figured out the four-year thing, I was like, oh, that's clever. Then I stopped Googling because I knew it's randomized, so I have to write it down. So I actually did have to go solve these puzzles. Like, I didn't have to guess at the mechanism, but I did have to guess at how fucking clever they feel with that room. And the one puzzle that really just, like, didn't really click with me, and I don't think was a well-designed puzzle, was the piano. I thought the piano was a really shitty puzzle. And essentially, the piano is like, they give you the notes and the like sequence, and you're supposed to play them like based on the years that appear on the piano keys. I just thought it was like not really knowable, to be honest. Like, there were no context clues for it. I felt it was just a poorly designed puzzle, but every other puzzle, I was like, this is kind of cute, kind of clever. I like how it builds on it. Like one of the, like once you unlock all the puzzle boxes, you get a whole bunch of text, which then you take to a gal who actually tells you the order of what you're looking for. And I Googled that to be like, what is like, where is it? They're like, it's in the notes. But like, I was just like this close. I just couldn't find the notes in my inventory. That was the problem, because there's like three different notes that reference these doors. And like, so that's the inventory or problem you were talking about. It's just like, if I had just kind of scooted through that, I don't know. I hated that puzzle, that piano. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is a stupid puzzle. Everything else looked cool.
That's funny. I didn't struggle. I mean, maybe just because I played piano, but that part of the context was there's only a couple of ways that actually sounds good too. And so I just screamed through that one. I saw the notes, and I was like, I'll just guess. And I played something that I thought sounded good, and that was the puzzle.
Oh, that's really great for you, Matt. I'm really happy for you. Anyway, my game starting out was Civilization and Monkey Island. So I can tell you that we have very different, but similar puzzle solving backgrounds. For example, in Monkey Island, I didn't need to write down shit. I just needed to find the thing. That was really lovely. I actually consider that more interesting game design than you need to bring a calculator with you to play this game, just as a rule.
If I'm looking back and trying to remember the one that I was the most aha and like, I see what's happening. And it kept me stuck for a long time is near the very end of the game where you are, kind of picking up the last pieces that you know you're going to need to solve the mega puzzle at the end. And there's one that just like many other puzzles in the game, requires the use of a mirror. And I was so in like picking up things from the environment at that point that I picked up, you know, basically your character stands on top of mirrors and you have to get the shapes as you walk through the mirrors. Different mirrors above will sort of turn on. And then you have to, with your brain or with drawing it out, put the placement of those things. And so what you think what you're doing is actually extrapolating those patterns and where they're supposed to go from the mirror location. But then what you forget is they're mirrored. So like my brain did the first part of the calculation and got all the shapes and put them in the position and then neglected to go, oh, and if they're mirrored, that's going to be upside down. And I went to solve the puzzle and just could not do it over and over again until basically I was like, oh, I wonder if they flipped. And then I had all the solutions. That was probably my most difficult, definitely missed the boat a couple of times.
There's a final last puzzle that's like kind of, there's little puzzles after, but like that's the computer, which boy, what a bitch of a puzzle to solve.
It was insane.
Such an insane puzzle. If I didn't look up like what to do, I would have had some of it, but not all of it for sure. Like it would have taken me a long ass time to figure
just getting out. Into the computer, you mean?
Just the three sequences you had to enter.
Computer
is one of those sequences.
Yes. What I'm talking about is, yes, you have to go and capture the pieces for one of the sequences and go back and forth. And I missed it. Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you're not in the right headspace and or you do not like puzzle games, like challenging puzzle games, that supercomputer will absolutely turn you off of this game. It's infuriating. Once you get through that, I thought the actual final round of puzzles, it was just sort of like a culmination of all the things you'd learned. Those ones were actually relatively easy. I was surprised at how easy the post supercomputer puzzles were, but that computer was nuts.
I love the music in this game a lot.
Yeah.
I thought the music in the game was particularly good. I thought the atmosphere was really creepy and interesting and weird. Like they're very Twin Peaks energy in this game.
Very much. Yep.
I thought they did a really good job of that. Again, like you talked about, the movement was bad. The map was bad, but I still think it's a great game. Like, I think it's like for people who like these kind of games, it's like, yes, we both have notepads filled with like puzzle solving shit, but you know, there's a real sense of discovery and a real cleverness to the puzzles, except for the piano. And also that one box with the shapes that were like different sizes. Do you get which one? Like they were like the year was like 1949. You had to put like the one square for one and then squares.
And light it up.
That one was even worse because I ran into issues with like what the four was in that. I think there was a four. Yeah, there was a couple of them that were just like in all these games, right? There's always that puzzle in Monkey Island.
The extrapolation,
it's like the
puzzles.
Little hidden pixel, you know.
Yeah,
it's. But it was very cool, and I don't know. Like, I don't think games like this come along a lot, and I'm glad to see more of them for my friends who love torturing themselves, and. You know, I like Dark Souls and you like this, and we both like to struggle to get to the next point. It's just different avenues to do that. So, Yeah, I would. I mean, if you like Myst, if you like Riven, if you like The Witness, which if you do, good luck. This is a really great game. Like, I think it's worth playing. I think the fact that one developer made it is really cool. I think it has tons of atmosphere and great sound. It has some really shitty dialogue and some a really cute dog you can pet in it. But as you learn, you know, Kaputskis. And it has laser eyes, man. Boy, does it have laser eyes.
It has a lot of laser eyes, indeed. Yeah. I think you nailed it. It's funny. This is one of the more complicated, and I'm not even sure we did it in this podcast, and we wouldn't at this point in time. It would take forever. I'm not sure we went into much discussion at all about exactly what this game is about or how it facilitates the wrap around the puzzles. I'm not sure it's super important. That's kind of part of the discovery. But it's very complex. There's a lot of things that get mixed together in the story and the characters and the puzzles, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the review for this game is as simple as you put it. It's like, if you like puzzle games, you'll like this game. Like, this is one of the best puzzle games I've ever played. The only other selling point there that I think is worth mentioning is there are good puzzle games that are just sort of like the puzzle mechanic's good. Or the discovery mechanic is good. One thing that I think makes this game extra special is that they give you access to a lot to start. Like, you can walk all over this hotel and the front yard and the backyard, and you can see all of the things that you want to see that you can't get to yet. And how you choose to solve the original rounds of puzzles, it's not linear in any fashion. You can unlock doors before you should. You can accidentally solve puzzles and get to areas that you can't progress through. And so it starts in this like big, insane volume of puzzles and directions, and then you sort of scope it down over time. Obviously, with the con being that like you can scope yourself out of an area you thought you had totally finished, like I did, and then miss a simple door. That's one of the downsides of that. But I think the pro is that like you really do feel like you're doing whatever you want and solving puzzles in whatever order that you want to. And I think that's really hard to do with just a puzzle game that has mechanics. So I thought that was also really well done too. But yeah, if you like puzzle games, man, you should play this game. It's super fun and very interesting in spite of all of its faults, of which there are some. It's worth it. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Any final parting words, Mr. Myers?
I'm sorry the podcast is late. I really struggled to get this game done. So
that's okay, man. We forgive you.
Thank you.
I forgive you. I won't speak for all the podcast listeners. I'll let them email you directly.
Okay. Well, they're all our friends, so that should be pretty easy.
Speaking of friends, we'll be back next month, friends, with Jedi, the new Jedi game, or sorry, not new, the most recent Jedi game. We'll be talking about that. So we'll see you then. With that, I've been your host this month, Matthew Anderson, on the other side of the microphone.
Kenny Myers.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in, at this point, less than a month's time.
Less than a month's time. Mwah. Bye.